You want the good news, you want the bad news?
I don't like either one of those options.
Your words are super wise, man.
You are a prophet. You deserve a prophet.
You do whatever you want. Who am I to tell you what to do?
But you're a psychologist.
Well, I know less than you do.
You're making me a better parent and a better wife, and thank God you're on the radio.
What planet are you on? I don't buy any of that stuff.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
What are you talking about?
You make my afternoon really fun. Enjoy ya.
You're about the most exciting thing I have right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
My problem, among many, is that I have belonged to so many anonymous groups that people know who I am. It's true. Nice to have you. Good to have you. Pleasure to have you. Delighted to have you here on The Doctor's End. Did you notice when I asked that woman, do you want the good news or the bad news? She said, I don't like either one of those options. How could you not like the option of good news? Especially the good news with a capital G and a capital N, which is the Lord came to ransom us and win our salvation. That's a classic example of the American language being limited. The good news. That's it? That's how we describe it? That's what we've got. But I think there's got to be better words than that. I mean, we use words like amazing for sandwiches. Awesome for a ball game. So how come we don't call it awesome news? Amazing news. Infinitely indescribable news. Well, I guess good news is just rolls off the tongue easier. Nice to be with you. I was scheduled to not be here. I was scheduled to be in Naples, Florida. Walked up to the ticket counter, Cleveland Hopkins, and I heard this couple next to me being told, no, the weather there is really bad, and your flight's going to be delayed probably till 6:30. Well, I'm speaking to the Legatus group tonight around 7. So I went to the counter and asked, and she said, yes. Minimally, it's 3:30 delay, probably 6:30. So I turned around and went back home, and I got to do the show with you. Got to do it live. They were going to run a least worst of today. This is not going to be... Well, this could be a least worst of if it's one of our least worsts, and it will be used in the future. But right now, it's live. So, please call in. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. If you'd like to call in, ask a question, give an expression, something that you would like to weigh in on. We've gotten some great insights of life from people who have raised kids or have a successful marriage or navigate their faith more smoothly. Beautiful ways. So invite those too. And also, every so often, somebody calls in and says, will you comment on, will you give your perspective on? And the way I do that is I subscribe to maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 periodicals per month. Try to read all of them, because you have to have some kind of breadth of knowledge to at least offer something that might be of utility and worth for someone. So the number to get Eric Dumont, our call screamer, there in Ann Arbor, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. This will be the last day that I will mention heading to St. Louis next week, God willing. Gone in on Monday, and the TV show, Living Great with Dr. Ray, will be taped on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. I recently saw the audience numbers. They are very high, very high. I don't know if they're making them up or what, but there's going to be some rowdy audiences in this taping. And we still have room for you. We're in a big facility, so we still have a lot of room. You can bring the kids, you can bring the dog, you can bring the goldfish. If you go to OurCatholicRadio.org, our meaning O-U-R, CatholicRadio.org, /Dr. A, and it takes you right to how you can sign up to 1, 2, 3, or 4 shows, and we'll feed you in between. So even if I, as host of Living Right with Dr. Ray, stink on a particular show, you will get fed, which can take some of the feeling of a lost hour of your life away. What is a panic attack? A panic attack is a surge of arousal, physiological arousal. Similar to actually being threatened by something that could do you real harm. Somebody breaks into your house, you will have a panic attack. But you won't label it a panic attack because you will say, understandably, there was a stimulus for my reaction. A panic attack is something that, for most, has no explanation. Where did that come from? It's extremely uncomfortable and distressing. Panic attacks vary. I would say most people have had some kind of panic attack. Now, it may not be debilitating. It may be just an inexplicable surge of anxiety, unexpected. You know, what caused it just happened. And this happens. Our bodies are wired, and they respond to fatigue. They respond to ongoing stresses that occupy your mind so that you're ruminating about something, you're worrying about something for a couple of days, and then you have this anxiety surge. That happens. There are physical conditions that can cause this, although most panic attacks are not at base a physical condition. People will come into my office after having one or more panic attacks. Their initial reaction is fear.
Dr. Ray, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, yes, it does. Because they are fearful of whatever they experienced. You have to interpret a panic attack. What is this? Am I having a heart attack? Am I losing my mind? Am I going crazy? Will I ever be normal? That was so horrible, I never want to experience that again. What is wrong with me? That's a very common interpretive reaction to a panic attack. Or even just a surge of anxiety. You might not even label it panic attack. I've had folks in my office go to emergency rooms. Experiencing this, they head immediately to the emergency room because they're just fearful something is wrong. Even when they get a clean bill of health, they're still concerned that something could be wrong. They missed it at the hospital. Now, this makes the anxiety attack more likely to occur in the future. Why? Because you are afraid of it. Where and when and around whom will this happen again? I told a story, but it was long enough ago that probably either you don't remember or you weren't listening or you listened but you no longer listen, so you don't even know what I'm saying now. I was at softball practice. I was probably in my 30s. Yeah, we had balls back then, but we did use sticks and rocks when I first started playing softball. And we were grateful. I was at practice, been practicing for about an hour and a half. Ball was hit into the outfield. I played left field in those days. And took off after it. Didn't get it, but I was full sprint. At the end of the sprint, got the ball, threw it in, and felt myself, well, my heart was racing, my breathing was getting very shallow, and I was a little bit lightheaded. I thought, whoa, well, this is weird. What's going on here? Now, maybe this is a panic attack. Now, at that time, I said to myself, I don't think anything's wrong with me. Not in ill health or anything like that. So this must be what a panic attack feels like. Because I had gotten a lot of folks in my office with panic attacks. And I wanted to relate to them. So I studied it. I knelt down and just observed what was going on with me. It didn't stop. I thought it would, but I went behind the backstop and I sat in the bleacher for about 20 minutes until it went away, or at least it declined to a low level of unsettledness. About that time, practice was over. We headed over to a fast food place, and I was still kind of perplexed. What was that all about? Then I realized I had not eaten in 24 hours. My schedule had been such that I just went from one activity to another, to another, to another, and spending that amount of fuel in my body for an hour and a half at a practice got my blood sugar too low. And that can happen. With a low blood sugar, you can get this sense of anxiety. Now, what would have happened if I wouldn't have come up with an explanation? And what would have happened if I would have said, oh, man, that was so, so unendurable that if it ever happens again, I'll just freak out. Well, what would happen is probably it would happen again. Maybe when I'm batting. Maybe in a game. Fortunately, I knew enough not to be panicked over being panicked. I wasn't anxious about being anxious. I didn't like the feeling. It's a weird feeling. But it wasn't, and this is going to sound odd, it wasn't a scary feeling. It was arousal. It was a surge of adrenaline. But I wasn't afraid of it. I was, in essence, detached from it. I don't want to say it was an out-of-body experience, but I studied it, kind of like a shrink. For the most part, panic attacks, however their severity, mild or strong, do not indicate any danger. They do not indicate that anything is wrong with you. If you recognize that many factors can cause this, fatigue, worry, upset over something, nervousness about an upcoming event, the body can surge. You won't be so frightened if your body does this. If you think that this is a sign that something is haywire in your body and something is haywire in your brain, then yes, you could very likely get another one because you're living in fear of it. Don't live in fear of it. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to get onto the program. I would very much like to talk to you. This is Dr. Ray.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Hosting Women Made New has helped me deepen my own faith, and I look forward to every weekend having those in-depth discussions with my guests. It's been such a blessing being a part of the EWTN family and carry on the mission that Mother Angelica started.
Women Made New, Saturday noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. I'll tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart friendly, ride your bike everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Oh yeah, I like that. Like that. Well, my monologue about a panic attack spurred on Joan from Pennsylvania because she has a little granddaughter, a little 8-year-old, who, now Joan labeled it a panic attack. I'm not sure that's what it is. We'll see if we can peel back the layers of the onion here and find out what's going on. Hi, Joan.
Hi.
You might say your little granddaughter gets anxious having to travel in a car?
She gets more than anxious. She refuses to go in a car.
Is that right?
Yes.
So wait. Just recently?
Yeah, just recently that she's been able to maybe get in the car and go for a 10-minute drive to get to the swimming pool in the area where she lives.
Well, she wants to go to the swimming pool.
Yes, and she wants to go a lot of places, but when she gets in that car, she just...
What does she do?
Gets panicked and says, I don't want to go. I got to get out of the car. And she goes back into the, you know, the apartment and just stays there.
How long has she been doing this?
Over 2 years.
Oh! So they have been essentially, unwittingly, and with all good intentions, I don't want to say feeding into this, but cooperating in it.
To a point, yes. Her mother is of the opinion that she shouldn't be forced physically to doing anything. Dad says I would put her in the car and just make her get over it, but being that the mother and the father are divorced and do not live together, the father does not have a whole lot of options. He gets to see her every 2 weeks.
So when he sees her, does she travel in the car with him?
She will go with him, and that's just recently, but not real far. So bottom line of that is he always has to go there, and she never gets to go to his house, which is 2 hours away. And she did at the beginning. She loved going there. They did a lot of things together. She has a friend in the neighborhood there, but she just suddenly got into this panic attack that she wouldn't get in the car and she won't leave the house where her mother is.
You want me to give you bad news?
I guess I got to hear it.
If the mother is unwilling to respond to this in a better way, then you can't do a thing.
That's what I figured.
Let me give you some general observations here, Joan. Little kids get better at getting over their little anxiety reactions. Okay, I shouldn't say little anxiety reactions. At getting over their anxiety reactions.
Mm-hmm.
When the adults around them help them simply float through the anxiety. That's how you defeat anxiety. You float through it. You realize it's not going to hurt you. So what has happened is when this little one, back when she was six, for whatever the reason, and by the way, Joan, that's not unusual for little kids, particularly girls, will have some kind of anxiety reaction in a certain situation that seems inexplicable. You don't know where it came from. You don't know why. They just got something in their head. And so they resist it. And the parent, like you said about your, I assume this is your daughter, said she doesn't believe to, quote-unquote, force her.
daughter-in-law.
So what has happened? Oh, yeah. She's really not going to want to hear from you. So,
that's right.
So given that, they simply say, well, all right, this is anxiety, and we don't want to make it worse, so what we'll do is we'll make it worse. Now, they aren't going to say that, and they don't realize that's what they're doing, but that is what they're doing. They're making it worse. It isn't a matter of, all right, we're going to put you in the car, we're going to strap you in the car, kid, and you're going to sweat blood. No, no, it's not that at all. It's, honey, you're going to feel real uncomfortable. It's not going to hurt you. You're going to be fine, and within about 5 minutes, it's going to go away. Now, that's the reality. But they won't do that. So as long as they won't do that, what happens, Joan, and I'm working on a book on anxiety right now. It's called The Anxiety Trick. What happens is every time that little girl is permitted to get out of that car, they make the anxiety stronger. Because she gets reinforced. I'm anxious. I don't feel comfortable. I get out of the car. I feel better. Ah, good. So that becomes her main response. That's her go-to response. Get out. But all that does is it makes it worse. Now, if somehow your daughter-in-law could be convinced that she's not psychologically harming her child by saying, honey, I'm sitting here. We're going to drive around the block, and we're going to show you the anxiety is going to go away. Because in the old days, that's how they used to handle anxiety. They basically said, okay, well, we'll slowly expose you inch by inch to the feared situations. We'll get your anxiety to calm down, and then we'll go a little farther and whatever we have to do and whatever exposure we have to do. But until your daughter-in-law gets to that point, Joan, what can happen here is that the little girl, and this is kind of sad, really, because there's no way this little girl should have to live like that. So this
she's getting frustrated with herself.
Sure, I could see it. And then what'll happen is, mom, and I don't know what your daughter-in-law is like, so I can't individually say anything about your daughter-in-law. But in general, at some point, most parents get to the place where they say, I can't live like this. We're not going to do this. And then they're mad. And then they're frustrated. And then what happens is they, quote unquote, go get therapy for the little girl. And the therapy, by and large, doesn't work because it's away from the situation. My little daughter was 4 years old when I adopted her. And they told us she gets car sick. And we always pull over when she gets car sick. And you have to pull over because she just doesn't like riding in a car. So, at one point after she had come to live with us, we're getting ready to go to church, and we get in the car, and we haven't even moved yet, Joan. That's the other thing anxiety does. It spreads. We hadn't even moved yet. And she said, I go for sick. I feel full up. And I said, JoJo, baby, if you throw up, you're going to throw up all of your dress, and your dress is really pretty. My dress is pretty? Yeah, your dress is really pretty. And that was it. We went to church. And she was probably a little queasy, but she found out I can do this. And she never, ever, after that, got car sick. But before she came to us, they said she got car sick every time she got in the car.
Yeah.
So
this little girl complained that they go so fast, and it scares her. Because they're always driving on interstate highways. So, yes, the traffic, it's a lot of traffic, and it is very fast. And I think she gets freaked out about it because they're always strapped in the back seat.
Well, we get freaked out about a lot of things. And what happens is you have to recognize that getting freaked out when there is no danger to get freaked out is what can happen to make the anxiety live on. Good luck to you, Joan. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. Get on to the program. Want to hear from you. You heard about the incredible shrinking man? You're tuned into the incredible manly shrink. Very, very nice to have you. go to Jean-Pierre. Not the Jean-Pierre that is the press secretary for the White House, the spokesperson. No, this is Jean-Pierre from Texas. Hello there, sir. Jean-Pierre.
Dr. Ray, how are you?
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call.
So the reason for my call is, how can I draw a line of, I guess, pushing my son to be a competitor and not to do it? I don't know if you understand my question.
Does he want to play?
I'm a competitive guy, but yes, when he's playing either real football or basketball, or even doing archery, sometimes I feel like the competitive nature is not there.
Is that bad?
No. He does it. It's just, I don't know, maybe, like I said, maybe I'm being too pushy. I'm telling him, man, you gotta do better. You gotta be the best version of you when you're competing. And sometimes that's it, but there is no flair. I don't know if you know what I mean.
Well, you want him to be more intense.
Okay.
The question becomes two things. You said you wanted to be the best version of himself. Well, as long as he's playing fair and he is not slacking or hurting his teammates. It seems like he's being a very competitive individual. If you say, well, yeah, but I want him to have more fire in his belly. That's it. He doesn't have the fire in his belly. Mm. Okay. So what are you interpreting about that? Are you saying, well, how's he going to succeed in life? What if he doesn't make it through school? What if he gets fired from a job because he's not the best at the job? I mean, that's probably what you're saying, right? If the kid's playing Sandlot football.
Mm-hmm. I see.
If he, I will tell you this, Jean-Pierre. I've coached softball for 40 plus years. I just quit last year coaching. I've seen a ton of guys who were pushed so hard in sports when they were younger that they're burnt out. They don't like it at all. I mean, their old man was in the sidelines yelling and screaming when they were 12 years old. Come on, throw it. No, underneath. No, you one-on-one, you got him one-on-one. Go to the right. And doing this kind of stuff, and the kid is just shaking in his boots. Mm. Dads especially do this. And what tends to happen is that the kid's thinking, oh, I'm not enjoying this. I think you'll be more comfortable if you say to yourself, my kid plays, he enjoys playing, he plays to win, but this doesn't mean that when he's 24 years old, he's going to get fired from the job because he just doesn't have that nature that he needs to have. Boy, that's a stretch there, Jean-Pierre.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, let's take it a step.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's take it a step sideways. If, in fact, he plays, but you notice there is a slack, lackadaisical kind of approach. He could care less. He's not involved. Then at that point, you got a decision. You want to play or don't you?
Okay.
I think that's the decision. But I will say this. This is something that I'm going to deal with in the lookbook future. Is more and more kids, especially boys, are less likely to be involved in sports because they have too many side distractions. Too many video games, too much technology, too many things like that. All righty, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
All righty, sir. I'll talk to you. Keith from Youngstown, Ohio, which is an affiliate here of the Living Bread Radio Network, wants to chip in with some anxiety situations he had. Hi, Keith.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Ray. Are you blessed?
As far as I can tell, I sure am.
Okay, I'm the recipient, even though I've been a rascal half of my life. You were discussing anxiety. I just wanted to chip in real quick. Anxiety and depression and panic attacks have been my three very dear pet companions over the years, and I beat an anxiety attack. I'll play the A to Z game. Any topic, I'll just think of the first name, the first city, the first baseball team, A to Z, and I'll keep going until I run out. And I'll allow the weird letters, you know, like an extra point for another one. Depression, that's a toughie, but I just...
Well, stop there, Keith, because I want to chase that a second. So you say that when you experience some kind of anxiety surge, you distract yourself by playing this little mental game.
Well, it's more of a panic attack, but anxiety works too, yeah. You know, the A to Z.
Why do you think that works?
Boston.
Why do you think that works?
Well, okay, anxiety and depression, as far as I've been able to figure out, and, you know, my mom was a victim of the psychiatric community nightmare. It's ingrained in your head. You're going to have this. It sucks. It gets worse. You get scareder and scareder, more frightened and more frightened. So... You're instant. I figured out to derail it. I would have a panicked attack where I'm thinking I'm dying, that I'm physically, the Lord's calling me home right here and now. You know, in the most impolite of places, I'm riding a metro rail in Washington, D.C. I'm traveling on the road throughout the country. A panic attack or an anxiety situation crops up. So I've learned you're not going to die. You're perfectly healthy otherwise, give or take. So why don't you just play the A to Z, distract yourself, Atlanta Braves, Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs, Detroit Tigers, Edmonton Oilers. You know, you got to cheat a little bit with names, you know, at least for sports teams. Foods, artichokes, broccoli, cauliflower, date nut bread, eggplant, fish.
Hey, you know, once that's you go through the alphabet a few times, Keith, you've already got it down pat because you don't have to think about it anymore because you know every letter.
Well, I challenged myself, you know, to come up with, like, cities in America or throughout the world, so in countries, you know, because you got a couple of Z's, you got a couple of Y's, not many X's. But that distracts you from that moment
Zambia.
Of having fear.
Zambia.
Zambia. Tanzania with the Z.
No, that don't count. It's not its first letter.
Zimbabwe.
There you go. All right, I'll take that one. All right, I'm gonna run up against a break, but I have some questions I want to ask you. And also to hopefully give some perspective for people who try to distract themselves during a panic or an anxiety surge. So if you'll stay with me, Keith, don't go away. And while you're gone, do the alphabet with all the hosts on Catholic Media. Thank you for joining me here. The doctor is in. Speaking to Keith from Youngstown, Ohio. Keith, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Well, did you get all the Catholic Media hosts from A to Z?
No, but I just moved up here, so I barely even know the call's letters. It's 89.5 in Youngstown FM. Believe it or not, you're on Living Bread Radio, you know, so...
Well, I believe it, because I'm broadcasting right now out of Living Bread Radio Studios.
Oh, I thought you were on Ave Maria. Oh, boy, now I get my ADHD. Happy.
Well, you got Ave Maria. Okay, so you're good there. All right.
Okay.
So here's the question.
Let's see, I forgot to give the Mother Mary a good plug, and my mom, and a couple of moms I borrowed over the years. That helps with the anxiety and depression, you know, like chicken soup. How about that?
Couple points. Anxiety and depression are a duo. You find them commonly together. Very much a routine connection between anxiety and depression. All right.
I think anxiety would be the handcuffs. Depression is the jailer.
Interesting. Interesting analogy. Here's my question for you, and here's a question that your distraction technique is something that theoretically a lot of therapists have put that one forth, and a lot of people practice it. What do you think it is about that distraction that calms you?
Well, the only thing I can say is like when I get into that panic attack or that anxiety, you know, I forgot a bill, I didn't do this or that, blah, 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 you know, the guilt's kicking in at full octane, caffeine plus. The only thing it does is it releases me that much that then I can put a better thought in my head. It's the change the channel.
You quit ruminating. You quit ruminating.
Yes, ruminating. Precisely, yes.
So your anxiety gets fueled when you start thinking about all of the potentially bad things or deficiencies in you or your life that pile on each other, and you just get more and more distressed about it. So by your alphabet game, you don't think about it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir.
That's right. Don't be nervous about that.
I don't even play in present time. I'm what I call a good victim. I will wait for the bullies, and I'll beat myself up until the bullies come. And I'm thinking about, you know, fouling up socially, you know, breaking my mom's heart, breaking my dad's heart.
Well, you got a whole bunch of stuff that you worry about constantly.
Oh, Jiminy Crickets, yes, I do. Yes.
Are you a religious guy?
Yes, sir.
So how do you account for this? How do you make all these things so important that they strip you of the peace that your faith should bring?
Well, remember, I'm one of the Catholics that ran away from home in more ways than one. I ran away from home physically. I've run away from life. My addiction was work, 18-hour days. I ate a telephone pole with my car, but mainly my face. I was sober as a judge. My addiction was running away from life and working and making believe. You know, I had fun in my work career.
That was your history. How do you explain it now?
Well, because Jesus wanted me to go down. No, he allowed me to go down the dark road. He doesn't want us to suffer. Our Mother Mary doesn't want us to suffer. But my reverend the other day said, well, sometimes, you know what, a mom's got to, this is really ironic, a mom has got to let her son wrap his car around a telephone pole. Last month, 28 years ago, March 12th, 1986, my addiction to my work, nothing else, I wrapped my car around the telephone pole in front of a Presbyterian church.
All right, I'm gonna cut you off here, Keith. I'm gonna cut you off because I gotta bump up against the break, and I got a couple more questions I want to ask you. So, given that, do you think without the distraction that the anxiety could still go away because you have learned a lesson, which is it can't hurt you?
I would think by now. I'm turning 63, September 14th. 914 Porsche. I like numbers. So anyway, it would have dawned on me by now. It was just one tool that the Lord and the Mother Mary and Joseph, being my stepfather, and my dad, my
good
living
enough.
Biological dad,
good
they
enough.
Gave me. Yeah,
glad to have it.
I
glad to hear it, Keith.
The church.
Thank you, my friend, and thanks for that little distraction technique. It's kind of like the car game. You drive through the car, and you got to find something with an A, and then a B, and then a C. I used to cheat at that because I'd say, yeah, there it is, Q, Dairy Queen. There was no Dairy Queen. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate the call, buddy. Publishing, got a book coming out from Deacon Richard Eason, Spiritual Lightning. That's a catchy title. Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values. Now, the synopsis here is St. Paul was struck down by divine power, bolt of spiritual lightning. In our lives, we also experience periods of spiritual lightning, moments, subtly, dramatically, circumstantially. So, the book is personal anecdotes and inspiring stories. The deacon talks about developing strength, courage, during times of suffering, ways to obtain healing. So the book is Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values, Deacon Richard Eason. I'm Dr. Ray.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
On Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Father Joseph and Doug Keck mind decades of phone calls answered by Mother Angelica. Mother dishes out teaching, advice, laughter, and plenty of prayers as she takes calls from her family.
Mother Angelica Answering the Call, Sunday afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
I was speaking to a friend saying that I had plans to write a book about anxiety. Because anxiety just manifests itself in so many forms. And the response I get, if I bring that up to anybody, is along these lines. Wow, I could use that book. I know people I would give that one to. How soon is it coming out? It reflects the presence of anxiety in our lives. Way back when COVID was at its peak and our country was in a massive panic attack, even among the religious, panic attack, anxiety was sky high. And I made the point that we were developing a cultural phobia. What is a phobia? A phobia is a fear of such intensity that it is disproportionate to any actual danger. For example, we now know that COVID was most dangerous with people who have compromising conditions or who are elderly. That was where the bulk of COVID mortality hit. For people in reasonably good health and under age 50 or 60, COVID was relatively mortality risk-free, relatively. I mean, you can die from the flu, okay? But at that, what happened was I had friends who would not enter my house.
They wouldn't come in. We had created a cultural phobia. And the interesting thing about this phobia, let's say you're afraid of dogs, or our little 8-year-old caller, she wasn't the caller, grandma was the caller, but our little 8-year-old girl who wouldn't get in cars, she was afraid of cars. Now, car's visible. You can avoid a car. For 2 years, she off and on, more off than on, stayed away from cars. That's it. So she, the object of her phobia was avoidable. It was right there. Same thing with the dog. My sister is very, very afraid of big dogs. Even if these big dogs are quote-unquote friendly and they love humans. Or she's scared. Now, you can avoid a dog. It's there. You can live around it. For the most part. How do you live around an invisible virus? You can't. Oh, Dr. Ray, you're being unfair. You can take precautions to keep that virus away from you. That's true. That is true. But you can't guarantee it because you can't see it. You can't know exactly where it is. You can't know exactly who might be affected with it. How? And so they did things like 6 feet of distance. And I remember even when they said that, I said, do they have any evidence for this? They have any research evidence that says 6 feet of distance lowers the risk of getting this virus? And there isn't any. And in fact, it has come out since that the figure was pulled out of the air. Stay 6 feet away. And then they said, remember, all these surfaces that you had to wipe and clean and wipe everything off, and people were wiping off their heads of lettuce and everything else, and they found out, no, it's not really transmitted by surfaces. It's an airborne virus. But what happened was they created anxiety. Horrific anxiety. I have an experience with an elderly couple that at last report, I don't know if this is still the case, but some 3.5 years after COVID came upon the scene, are still housebound. Yep, still housebound. So there is this, you can create anxiety, you can create panic attacks. The media is very good at this. Very good. I get a lot of people in my office whose distress is related to the fact that they think the world is absolutely just falling apart. How long can we go on like this? I can't believe this. Look at what's happening to the church. And they're truly depressed about this because the media is hammering them with bad news all the time. Everything is unraveling according to the media. If there's a bad way to look at it, that's how they're going to look at it. If it bleeds, it leads. Used to be the old local news premise. Well, now that's with 24-hour cable news. I mean, you're just going to get pounded by the news constantly. But what is happening is we've created a very stress-filled culture. It's true. You look at the stats. And you know who are among the most stress-filled, the most anxiety-ridden? Teenage girls. Yeah. Especially teenage girls. Now, this is interesting. I'm not playing politics here. I'm just simply reporting what the research said. Teenage girls who would be considered more toward the left in their thinking regarding politics, regarding morality, regarding society. How is this? Why is this? What is it about that particular perspective on life that can create more anxiety for people? One of my biggest disappointments. Yeah, okay, that's an exaggeration. I was disappointed when I saw that there was almost no difference in the COVID response among religious people or people who said they were religious and non-religious. Now, I would love to see the stats on people who, in fact, were weekly mass goers, daily prayers, people who welcomed more than 1.86 children. I mean, you start narrowing it down, my guess would be you would have more of them not as anxious about this virus. But for the most part, it was a culture-wide mindset. And it was anxiety. It was anxiety like I had never seen. It's unbelievable. In all my years, I had never seen all of it come together at that level to create that kind of anxiety. And it's still out there. It's still lingering. I go to the airports. I see people in masks all the time. Now, one might say, well, Dr. Ray, they have their own individual reasons for masks. That's their business. They want to wear a mask, wear a mask. But I would wonder. Sometimes I just want to say, I won't. I get punched. What is your reason for wearing a mask? What is it? I don't know. So, anyway, I am going to write a book about anxiety. Makes me nervous. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Thanks, Andrew Krucek. Thanks, EWTN. Thanks, Ave Maria. Thanks, Eric Dumont. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Without you guys, none of this would have been here. Well, sorta. Walk with God. A good walk should lower your anxiety.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.